live from the Sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, an inspiring today word that will help you battle through today's challenges. Listen and enjoy this exciting message and let the presence of the Lord work through you to reach the world for Jesus Christ. True love, pure worship, real answers.
And let me tell you today, the Lord has called me today to speak to you, to get you caught up and stirred up. And I say you, meaning me too. All of us caught up in Him, stirred up in Him. Because I said, God, what do you want to speak? My goodness, I haven't even looked at my notes, but I feel it. Oh. I said, God, what do you want to do today with your people? He said, they're hurting. They are in hard places. They have been beaten down. Their scars are seething. I mean, just, I don't want to be nasty, but just oozing. Some of you are healed to a certain degree. Some of you are ready to scrape the scab off. Some of you got a fresh wound, and God said that my people are hurting. And I said, okay, what are we going to try to tell them today? He said, I want you to stir them up. I want you to encourage them and tell them they are going to win this thing. You are going to come through. I know it doesn't feel right. I know it doesn't feel right. You're part of my message. Doggone it. There's been things happen to people I know this week. A young man, a friend of ours, young man, my goodness, down in North Carolina, died just like 21 years old because somebody ran him over. Had to have a closed casket. That's a very close friend of mine. It's his nephew. And I heard about that. Then I heard bad news about another friend who's already been struggling. Plays keyboards here for us every fifth Sunday when she's able to. I mean, I've just been hearing and hearing and hearing. And God said, tell the church, in spite of it, in spite of it and what you're going through, I know it looks like the devil's lording over you and he thinks he has his foot on your neck. You're about to twist that ankle up off of him. You're going to twist it off of him. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Lord wants you to know, do not, hear this, do not make a temporary decision that will last your eternity. What you're going through is temporal. It's temporary. And God is saying some of us, because of the enemy being in our face and just working us and working us and working us, we make adjustments in a temporary situation, but they have eternal ramifications. And God is saying, don't do it. I know it hurts. And listen, I'm not talking about easy stuff. I'm talking about really playing ball. I'm sorry, my slang. I'm talking about being real. It's one thing to say, I love Christ, and I will serve him. Come life, come death, I will serve him. But it's another thing to say it when you really are facing death. That's what I'm talking about. The enemy's been messing with you. And so the Lord told me to tell you this, that you are going to win this thing. You are victorious because it's in my DNA to be victorious, and I will not accept anything less. The Lord showed me strings attached to each one of you. And if you understand this, you are anchored to success. The only issue going on right now is how far you wander. You got a string attached. If that podium is success, God's got you anchored to it. He's got you anchored. The only thing is we're out here bumping into each other. We're getting tangled up, and we're having to get untangled. But you're still anchored to success. And he wants to bring you through. Now, as I was writing this message and listening to what God wanted me to do, and my goodness, I already told myself this thing is kind of, it's thick. There's a lot in it. There's a lot of scripture, so I have to get through it. And so I'm going to try to do that. I really don't want to miss giving out anything God wants me to give to you. Amen. But as I was writing this, it was only in the middle that he reminded me, this is Father's Day. And I said, oh, wow, that's cool. I see what you're doing here. Because the title is called Raising the Triumphant Ones. Raising the Triumphant Ones. I was thinking about the church when he was telling me this, and I was saying, okay, we're going to raise the triumphant ones. Those who are in the camp of God, those who are in Christ will triumph. Amen? But God also put a spin on it and told me that we are to be the ones raising the triumphant ones. That could be in us or in each other. And it started making me think about my father trying to raise a triumphant one. He might not have known to call it triumphant. Sometimes God can do things in your ignorance. Oh, my God. Woo! Oh, my goodness. If the devil knew some of the things he was doing for you. Oh! He doesn't know who he's working for sometimes. He's out getting busy. He thinks he's going to get a paycheck, and he doesn't know he's working for you. Sometime go read about Esther and Mordecai. Mordecai was blessed by the enemy. Amen. You can read that later. My goodness. But anyway, if we can for a moment, let's turn to 2 Corinthians. I'm going to try to get through this. 2 Corinthians 2:14. When I think of my father, and as you're turning there, when I think of my father, I can say these things were true of him. He wanted all of his children to be successful. He wanted all of us to be honorable. He wanted us to be committed, driven, resolute, and better than he was. God wants all these same things for us, right? Of course, he doesn't expect us to be better than he is, even though Jesus said, greater things you'll do than I have done. But we'll never ascend and be greater than God. But I can say that he does want us to be honorable people, committed, driven, resolute, right? Working hard. My dad came from an age, I don't want to act like he's ancient, but when he died, he was 61, and that was in 2004. But he was old school. And even if he made a mistake, but he gave his word he was going to do it, if he misbid something, because he said he could do it, he put his word on it. And doggone it, if that meant he just was going to have to take the loss, he was going to do it. Why? Because he never wanted to be accused of being dishonorable. Dishonest. Not a man of his word. God wants us to be all those things. Amen. Now here in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14, it's a verse we've read over and over. We've seen it before, but it says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. Do you believe that? He will always cause you to triumph. Amen? He's always looking out for his people as they are attending to his business. And it said here that we are diffusing the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Every place what? Every place we go. The fragrance of God and who he is should be present. They should be able to see this in us, amen? They should be able to see it in us. So when we're going about, God is trying to establish his kingdom. The only way he can really do that the way he wants to is to cause you to win. To cause you to look successful, be successful. Amen? And so that is God's desire. Now, we're going to spend a lot of time, and this is kind of a strange, I'm going to jump back and forth between Judges 4 and all the way to Judges 7. But those chapters, we're going to hang out there, and we're going to look at Israel, and more specifically, we're going to check out Gideon. And I want to pull some things out of the life of that time period, what was happening in Israel, and try to show the things necessary, the steps necessary to raise a triumphant one. Amen? Amen. So please forgive me. It's going to be like a movie that goes from the future and then jumps back in time and then goes back. I'll let you know what those changes are, okay? All right. So now, as I set this up, just so we'll understand what we're seeing here and what we're reading about, I know many of you know these stories, and I'm just going to go back. I don't want to assume anything. But in the book of Judges, Israel was always jacking up. Now, remember, Judges, you know, I mean, you've got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, you know, you've got some books before you here. You got some things that have taken place already. Moses has already taken them out of Egypt. Noah's already done his, all these things have already happened. But we're at this point in the book of Judges where Israel, having seen God's mighty hand, they continue to go in and out, obedient, disobedient, in bondage, out of bondage, free, bound up. Amen? So we're going to look here because what I want you to understand as we're going through this, you are going to have hard times. You are going to be bound up. And as I tell my children, when they're getting disciplined and they think one day when I'm grown, I'm not going to have to worry about being disciplined like this. And I say, that's not true. You are always going to have a boss. You are always going to have somebody who will correct you when you step out of line. One day I was getting a speeding ticket and I said, as the officer went back there, we were pretty hot. If I get a speeding ticket, I'm really upset that I have to pay. Shouldn't have sped. But anyway, but as the guy was going back to his cruiser, this was a while back, and I said to the kids, I said, I told you, you always have to pay when you mess up. I said, Daddy shouldn't have been speeding, and Daddy got in trouble. I don't care what's going on in your life. You are always going to be in tight spots, some that you caused, and some that's just because you're following God. Amen? Hallelujah. So I want to deal with some necessary steps here if we are going to truly do what God wants us to do. Now, there's one thing before I read that I really want to pull out. One of the things God was telling me, and I know I already mentioned this, but I like the way he had me write this as far as the purpose when we leave up out of here today. He told me this. He wants me to stir you to the point that you will continue to encourage yourselves and others until we have properly occupied the land. I want you to know that in spite of your hardship, you will rise. Now, he gave me that specifically. I was going to title this, You Will Rise, but then I didn't want you to think I was getting it mixed up with Maya Angelou. This is what the Lord was speaking to me. So he wants us to properly occupy, and the only way we can do that is to cause the triumphant one in each of our neighbor to rise up. Amen? Because as you rise up, we will accomplish what God has for us. So there's some necessary steps to do that. So if you could turn to Judges 6. Lord, help me get through what you want me to get through. We're going to go to Judges 6, verse 7 through 10, and I'll read that here in a moment. Here's one of the necessary steps if you're going to raise up a triumphant one. You must identify and align with the Alpha. You must identify and align with the Alpha. This is going to weigh in more as we keep going on. It's funny, I was watching this weekend, I saw two movies. It was funny because they were dealing with the Alpha. One was How to Train Your Dragon, and there was an Alpha dragon in there. And then there was another movie I watched, and it was funny. They just kept talking about, well, you're going to find the Alpha, some sci-fi thing I was watching. But the Lord dealt with me and said, as far as our Christian walk goes, the Alpha is always Christ. But if we're going to be successful, I'll tie this in later on, and I don't want you to get confused. Later on, it's going to be situational. Who's the Alpha? And I'll just give you a quick preview before I get to this scripture. If I'm at somebody's wedding, like let's say Jimmy and Siva are getting married, and I'm at their wedding, Billy, I don't know what I'm thinking of. I had another brother at another church that reminds me so much of you, and this Jim Todd. But anyway, but when I'm with Billy on his wedding day, if I was there and we're all getting dressed, I'm going to talk about him. I'm going to talk about his day. I'm going to encourage him. You're going to hear very little about me. It's not going to be about me. It's going to be about Billy, because in that given time, he's the Alpha. And I'm saying this, and you'll see it later as we go through, because sometimes the things that chokes us as Christians is how we respond situationally to things, and it causes us to be of no effect. I'll tie that in later. But first thing we must do is identify the Alpha. So here in Judges 6:7, I'm just going to start reading. It says, "And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you and drove them out before you and gave you their land." He drove them out and gave you their land. And then in 10 it says, "Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. I am your Alpha, your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice," he says. "You have not obeyed my voice." Now, if we're going to be successful, we have to identify and align with the Alpha. Most of the times when you see Israel in trouble, Israel, the chosen people, who God just wants to do so much with, he showed his hand to them time and time again. Brought them, split, my goodness, you split a sea for me? Listen, if you split the bathtub in half for me, I'm going to serve you with such a vigor the rest of my life, it's going to be crazy. But you split the sea and allowed me to walk in the middle of it, and my parents and my, come on. But what would happen is after God did all these things, somehow they just started forgetting what he did. And so continually, as we see here, you're going to see where it says, so God allowed. God allowed. The Midianites, gotcha. The Amalekites, whoever. It's going to say God allowed because he had to deal with them. One time he held them in bondage 7 years. Another time it was 28 years. I mean, it's just different times. And then they cried. And then God brought them out after they served their time. And what I want to say to us is if we are going to be successful, we're going to have to understand it's no longer about us. Amen. It's no longer about how cute you are, who thinks you're this and that. If you are going to be successful and rise up as a triumphant one, it's going to be because you're handling yourself in a way that is appropriate to the King. If you don't speak for the king, trust me, no blank check is going to show up there. Now listen, I have something that I say, and I really believe this. When I walk in the territory God told me to walk in, provisions, oh my goodness, they just fall out of the sky. They just fall out. People come up. We went to the Mexican restaurant on our way back from Pastor Greg's church. We were ministering out there, and we stopped and we had some dinner. Pastor Rob and several of us, and we were just talking, and we just shared around the table all the different times God showed up. Somebody out of the blue just came and gave me $100. I needed $150 for a certain thing, and somebody out of the blue just came and did that. But we also talked about how we were giving. We were aligning ourselves with what God wanted to do. Now, the devil does not want you to align yourself with God, and so he wants to tell you, you be Alpha. You can do this. Shoot. Before you know it, we're going to be making people. We can be God. It's all right. You going to be Alpha. You make the decision for yourself. Pull yourself up from your own bootstraps. I mean, by your own bootstraps. You know? But, you know, that's not how God wants it. He wants us to identify him and come to him for everything. Trust in him for everything. Amen? And if you look also just a couple of verses over in 12, I'm still talking about identifying the Alpha. It says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Now listen, he's talking to Gideon. Let me back up for one moment. This is one of those moments I want to back up and just set up the scene real quick. Gideon had been jacking up. They had been, oh, I'm sorry, not Gideon. But the people, Israel, had been jacking up. They were in bondage. Now this is one of those times where God wants to bring them out. So he's wanting to go and calls Gideon to rise up and do what he has for him to do. All right? Now, while Gideon is in captivity, we're going to see this later, and I just want to throw this out real quick. While Gideon is in captivity, their land is being taken. Their produce is being taken, and they have to run and hide. So when they produce things, many times the enemy came in and said, like locusts, and would consume their territory because they were under the judgment of God. Amen? So you'll understand this here. So it says here, the angel of the, verse 12, the angel of the Lord said, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about? Saying, did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. Right? Then in verse 14, it says, then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours. I like that. Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? Now, as I'm reading this scripture, and the reason I wanted to point this out, it's a little strange to me. In the process of identifying the Alpha, there are a couple things that have to happen, and I'll tie it into this scripture here. One, you've got to know who brought you to the party. Right. It's not just good enough to say, I know God is Alpha. No, there's things that come along with that. You got to understand who brought you to the party. The one who invites you to the party takes care of you, delivers you there, gives you what you need to maintain there. To occupy that place. Amen? You also have to be mindful and accept his designation. Now, let's see. Sometimes I want to share things about work, but Sister Deb works with me. I gotta be careful. I gotta be careful what I say. No, let's see, how can I say this? Sometimes I might get a new person at work. Here I hire in a new person. Now, there might be some other individuals that just because they know what goes on and know how things happen, they take it upon themselves to tell that person what to do. That's not really their place, right? They didn't hire them. They're not working for you. But sometimes what they do is they'll go and they'll speak and tell them, you do this, you do that, go move that, this is how that gets done. And I haven't asked them to do that. Sometimes we do that in the house of God. But we do it according to ourselves. And what I'm trying to say to you is this. If you are going to observe and align with the Alpha, you must also accept his designation. He went to Gideon and he said that he was a man of valor, right? Let me make sure I'm saying it right. He called him mighty man. Let me make sure. Yeah, mighty man, you mighty man of valor. Now, if I'm identifying the Alpha, I'm not going to argue with that. If you come and say, Otis, you great, mighty man of God, and I believe it's God who's speaking to me, I'm going to say, okay, yes, I am. Now, in my head, I'm thinking, my goodness, me? Me? But the one who brought me to the party said, you are, maybe you're the princess. You're the queen. You're the anointed prophetess or whatever. What happens in the enemy, on the enemy side, is he wants to speak into your ears so much and tell you you cannot accept it. Matter of fact, he's shielded it in righteousness, false righteousness, to where we will resist and say, no, no, not me. You don't know, Moses. You don't know. I can't speak. Watch what this cat says. Right here. So he said to him, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the, listen to this language. My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. I just heard from the Alpha that I am a man, a mighty man of God and a valor. And I said, no, you got it wrong. I'm of the weakest clan and the weakest in my father's house. You missed it. You will not cause a triumphant one to get up if you allow that speech to exist. My ears perk up when I hear my son say something that I know is contrary to God, contrary to his purpose. And right now, our church, we believe a lie. It's harder for us to believe that we are what God wants us to be than it is to believe that we're lost, unable to do it. We've got to identify the Alpha, accept his designation, seek his voice, and question, what has he spoken? See, there's many things connected to this. And so even on this verse here, 14, look at 14 and look at the very last thing he says to him. God says to him, have I not sent you? Question mark. Now, wait a minute. You're just now telling him, right? You're just now telling him to go. The truth of the matter is this. And just to put this out there for you, as far as a prophecy, this will tie in for you. That scripture, the angel is telling him, you're going to do blah, 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 A, B, C, D. You're going to deliver your people. It's going to be a great thing. I'm going to bring them out, and people are going to recognize this. It's going to be awesome. Have I not told you this? Wait a minute. That means he told him before. Right? This isn't something fresh and new in Gideon. This means God's been speaking something to Gideon. How many of you have heard God speaking to you and you did not register it, but sometimes it's when you come up and a prophet or a prophetess or someone with a prophetic gifting is speaking over you, that something awakens. It's not that he hadn't spoken it to you before. You might not have remembered it. It might have been in a dream. But this, it says, did I not tell you this? Or have I not called you? Question mark. So listen, what I'm trying to tell you is it may be okay to say, I know God is God. Okay, that's great. Have you aligned yourself with him? Have you said yes to the things he said about you, even when it goes against the pitiful thing you think about yourself? And have you questioned, how is he talking to me? What is he telling me to do? We have got to grab hold of what God wants us to do, because I guarantee you this, this territory could not handle the manifestation of each one of you. If each one of us would rise up to what God wants us to do, they have not been prepared. They will have to increase. Listen to me. They will have to increase housing. They will have to go and have more police force. Not because of crime breaking loose, but because of traffic. Listen, Eddie Long, big church down in Atlanta, Georgia. Eddie Long, they have probably 4 or 5 police officers on his property. He doesn't have to pay for it. Okay? They come there to make sure everything's okay because he has such a mass amount of people there. And even on the new highway that they had put in, they had to develop the off-ramp in considering how the traffic was going to flow to that church. And I'm trying to tell you, if you were to rise up to the level that God wants you, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you've been disobedient. I'm just saying we've been running on 25%. But my goodness, even if we just kick that up to 50%, it's going to be ridiculous. And guess who knows it? The devil. So he wants you to fight with each other. He wants you to hate each other. He wants you to frown when somebody shares a testimony of them getting over. Why? Because it puts pressure on you now. Now I got to get over. And God wants us all to rise up. But we're scared sometimes in church. We're scared in the world. We're scared in church. We're definitely scared in the world. Because in here, you got friendlies. Okay? And for me to say, stop that moaning like you've been moaning, I don't know anything about this, sister. But if I say, listen, stop the moaning, you're taking this from the wrong angle. Do we have comfort to know that we can say that to a brother or sister in love and say, look, no, you got to stop that. That's the wrong way. What you need to say is this. And not be worried about now you've offended that person, they're not coming back to the church. No, I'm saying it because I love you. There's something in you, it's still sleeping. I'm sorry, I'm getting fired up about this because God keeps telling me the thing that is in us, if it even peaked out a little bit, if it peaks out a little bit, children will be changed. Molesters, who's in here? I'm trying to see if children are in here. If a molester was to choose your child to touch, something would just rise up. Something's going to make him think, wait. I don't know what it is about you, but who's been speaking? I got. Now listen, I can offend some people and I'm not trying to. I'm not telling you bad things don't happen to Christians. But I'm telling you when we unleash what God has in us to the degree that it is able to be unleashed, stuff is going to get shaken up and turned. The devil's going to think twice about messing with you in that area because he knows what's going to happen. Man, if I went into what some cats, Lester Summerall, some of the things he used to do, he was ridiculous. There was times they'd be having a witches conference and have all their stuff laid out and be doing their craziness, and he wasn't afraid of it. He go in there and say, "Your God, it was a stupid stuff." And throw it all over, and people would try to take him out. No, you weren't going to touch him. But he was just crazy enough to be crazy for God. My goodness, I better move on. My goodness, how long have I been going? All right, number two, if you're going to do what God has for you to do, you must satisfy his purpose. You must satisfy him. We know in Psalms 1, it talks about us, you know, it talks about not sitting in the seat of the, or counsel of the ungodly, or the seat of the sinner, the scornful and all that. And then it says, you will meditate in the word of the Lord day and night. You should be like a tree planted by the river's edge. He wants you to be in abundance. But he wants you to be satisfying to him. And as you meditate on his word and you get it into you day and night adhering to it, that doesn't mean you can't go to a movie. That doesn't mean you can't go to a party. I'm not saying truly 24/7, you're just sitting there in a room, closed, and meditating. But you can be mindful of God at all times. Amen? I can't tell you how many movies I've been to that the Lord started speaking to me and telling me, look at that. You see what just happened? And I'm able to listen to him and, okay, God, I hear you. But God wants you to satisfy his purpose. If you are going to be successful, if you are going to raise the ones who will be triumphant, you're going to have to make it all about satisfying his purpose and not your own. Now, I've given Pastor Rob, when I came on board, and I'm going to tell you this, I'm big time protocol. In my mind, protocol is very important. Okay? And in this nation, I'm gonna say something. We get where I was saying the world wants you to think you're alpha, and it's almost like nobody can tell you anything. Yeah. I'm on the flip side of that. Yeah. I like having a covering. Amen. I don't have a problem even at my job calling my boss, "Hey, boss, how you doing?" Or I might say, "Hey, is the boss lady in?" That doesn't bother me. I appreciate protocol. So when I came on board, Ivy, and understand, you guys remember Ivy got here before I did. I had some things I was taking care of at my own home church. But Ivy and I both had a conversation with Pastor and Tammy, and we told him who we were, I've known him for years, but I wanted him to know, who am I, who are we in church setting? Okay, as far as leadership or how we could be used and what we have that's available to, and please do thus or so. And so one of the things I had told Pastor was, I'm a servant. If you want me to be quiet, tell me to be quiet. I don't have my feelings on my sleeve, especially during the service. I don't have time for him to say, "Otis, could you play that a little quieter, please?" No, if he did this, I'm down. And I told him, I'm not going to be offended. When we're trying to worship God and get to where God wants us to be, if you turn to me and say, "Hey, stop playing," I don't need to know why. I don't need to say, "Did I make a mistake? Well, was I playing the wrong song? Should it be a different song, Pastor?" I'm not worried about any of that. All I know is I heard, "Stop playing." Okay. I'm not offended because I'm trying to satisfy his purpose. Amen. Now, I want to show you something that I found peculiar, considering Gideon and his guys. Gideon had a situation here. Oh, I don't want to skip here. Yeah. Let's look here. I want you to see something. And this is concerning Gideon and his men. If you look in Gideon 7, and I'm not going to go through this whole scripture piece. Oh, I'm sorry. I love Gideon so much, I gave him a book. In Judges, I've been looking for the book of Otis for a while, but I have not found it. Just to tell you the story, and I'm not going to pull out every piece of the scripture, but I do want you to see something here. We're going to read from Judges 7:7. But in this situation, Gideon had originally had like 22,000 men that were with him. And God was going to have him go into battle. Is everybody familiar with this scripture where God says, you know, we need to make this group smaller so that people will know it was me? 22,000? 32,000. Thank you. And so, that's right. It was 22,000 who left. So on his first time through, God said, listen, we need to thin down this group. And so God helped him weed through some people, and he sent them home. All right? There's about 22,000. Then there was still 10,000 who were left, right? And then so God said, no, we still have too many people. So what God did is he ran another test. He had them go to the water. He said, the ones who lap up like a dog with their tongue, he said, those you're going to send home. Those who get down on the knee and scoop up the water like this and look, those you will keep. All right? And so we know the story. They did that. There was 9,700 who were lapping up like dogs. So only 300 remained. Now, as I was reading through the scripture, certain things just jump out and make me think on the other side of it. So I'm going to show you this. It says in verse 7, it says, then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. Every man to his place. Now, we can say that, oh, he just sent them home. But what the Lord, this is about the rhema. It says every man to his place. That's logos. It clearly says that. But the rhema piece is that what God opened up to me is he said every man to his place. And he showed me an opportunity for a fence to set in. Some of us, because we forget who the Alpha is, and we forget about pursuing and trying to satisfy his purpose, in a situation like this where we are not selected for a certain task, we allow offense to come in. He didn't say they failed. He didn't say they were failures. He didn't say they couldn't scrap. He might have sent home some of the baddest scrappers. He just said, tell them to go to their place. What happens when you get to your place? Some of us are busy trying to be in somebody else's places. And God hasn't called us to that place. You won't be successful. Not on this journey. Let me show you what the devil does. He would try to get those who were going home, that 9,700, he will try to get into their minds and cause them to camp out on that rejection tip. That rejection situation. Okay? So he will get into their minds, and he has done this to us from time to time. You're not selected, and so all of a sudden, well, I'm just changing my field of study. I'm just changing my discipline because I've tried to get a job in this area all this time, and you never thought about changing the area. Never mind. I'm not telling you to go somewhere, but I'm trying to tell you there are more variables to consider. And if you forget who the Alpha is and who you're trying to please, and it's all about him, it starts to become about you. So then offense can set in, and now you've got infighting. Because this time they asked Sister So-and-so to make the baked beans, or they asked Sister So-and-so to make the cake. I don't know. Why didn't they ask me to sing a special for the conference? Can I not sing? I knew I should have took more lessons. I was going to do I preached a message once before, and I was trying to figure out if I wanted to do it, tie it into this. But on this, in this message I was speaking, I was trying to say that the way you approach people, you project your thoughts. The person on the other end, they have no idea what you're thinking. They haven't even had a chance to assess you, but from your angle, you are projecting a thought. So on a piece of paper, If I held up a piece of paper, it says failure here. And what I did on the other side of the paper, I did the same thing. I put failure in the same way, but it read backwards to the person I was walking towards. So to me, as I'm walking up to you, I see failure. And I'm thinking, ah, they see failure. They see failure. They see failure. They never saw failure. It was backwards to them. They didn't know a failure was walking to them. But as I'm thinking, failure, failure, failure. Now I come to you, hi, mister, hi, brother. Or they might say, what did you major in? Well, now all the history comes up. Because you think you have to justify. They're just asking, what do you do? And you're like, well, I should have went to college when I was, but I got caught up in doing this, and I didn't. You're making excuses now, like it's expected. Like they can see failure all on me. We do it with everything. I'm the least of my tribe. Surely you don't mean me. And so we walk away from what God wants us to do. I'm trying to tell you, the devil wants you to stay down. And God is saying, if you will just rise up and trust me, I don't care if you don't have the supplies in your hand. I don't care if you don't see the resources. I don't care if you came from that part of town. I don't care if you grew up in a foster home. I don't care if you had mommy or daddy. I don't care about that. When I say do something, I roll a check for it. It's done. I'm trying to keep myself back, but listen, it is done. God is saying, I want to do something so stupid with you. With the 300... As we'll read later, as he's on the valley, while they're down in the valley, he's on the hill. It said that group was as locusts. The camel, you could not count their camel. Oh my goodness. He had 300 men. People would look at that and laugh. How stupid are you? What type of general goes into battle with 300 people? Go home and think this thing over. That's what the devil's telling us.
Yeah, amen.
Think this thing through. You can't make it.
Yeah.
All I need to know is who is the Alpha, and he appointed me to do something. I don't know how it's going to get done. Why? Because it's not my responsibility.
Yeah.
I tell God, now, if you tell me to lay hands on somebody, I'm sorry if I look violent, but it just is flowing.
That's all right, brother.
If God tells me to do something, I tell God first, God, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what you tell me to. I'm just going to be that crazy. But God, if this doesn't work, it's not on me. I know it's on you to do. So I know you got this. God, you tell me to do it, I'm going to go. And he says, Otis, go. I was at the Athens County Fair years ago, about to get on a ride. There's a lady behind me, and I felt this sick feeling again. I get a sick feeling when I don't want to do what God wants me to do. It's one of those that says, you better do it. You don't want to do it. But if you go home, you're going to be sick. And so this woman, I'm just looking at her, and I'm like, oh. And I looked at her again, oh. And God said, you say what I told you to say. And he told me to tell her, God forgives you. Time for you to forgive yourself. That's all he wanted me to say. And I'm like, oh, gosh. People are hostile towards Christians, especially in this time. And I'm like, oh. So look, I turned and I said, look, God says he has forgiven you, but it's time for you to forgive yourself. Boom. Oh, my goodness. Crying, tears, snotting up. And she said, oh, how'd you know that? How'd you know that?
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Went to Deer Creek, my whole family. And they don't know nothing about prophecy or being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues and things. At that time, it was like, wow, Junior got filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and this. Okay. And Ivy and I, we went to on a special outing with them in at Deer Creek. Darn waitress comes, gives us our food, and I said, oh, God. No. I share it with that woman. And it was over, wasn't it? We just sat at that table and prayed for her. She didn't know how we knew. And it was just, it's God. But what I'm trying to tell you is the devil doesn't want you to do that. See, the devil wants you to go in. He tries to work with your body because your body is designed. Anybody in the medical field will tell you, your body is designed to preserve you, to cause you to survive as long as possible, and it's going to keep you safe. Anything threatening, you want to run from. And God wants you running to the threatening thing. Doesn't work. Not in our natural mind, it doesn't. But that's what the devil is banking on. The devil wants to cause you to do what he wants done. God told me to tell you something. One of the things he told me to tell you is this. Oh, my goodness. I'm really going through. God wants you to make the majority vote in yourself. Now, here's what I'm saying. Oh, my goodness. Can I get to it all? Inside of us, we have a body, we have a body right here, right? Flesh, blood. We've got our mind, and we got the spirit. The spirit we know is always willing. Any board that you have, it's got to be an odd number so you can break any tie, right? Now, you are made up, you are a three-part being. You've got your body, you've got your soul, amen, and you've got the spirit. The majority happens when your mind decides it's going to go with what the spirit says, and you will have a majority vote, your spirit and your mind, and you can overrule the body. And God is saying right now the enemy's working from the outside because he is going for your mind. He doesn't care about your body. It's already corrupt. It's already decaying every day. But if he can get to your mind, he can have a majority vote and he can control you all day long.
Yes, he can.
He can take you wherever he wants. And God is saying, make up your mind. Who will you stand for?
Yes.
You must satisfy his purpose. That is the main thing. Also, I would like you to look. If you would look in Judges. I told you we're staying in Judges. My goodness. Judges 6, 1 through 4. We're still talking about satisfying his purpose. When you do not do what God has for you to do, you have to operate from an altered type of state. Okay? So I want to show you here, verse 1, chapter 6. It says, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them. Who delivered them?
The Lord.
The Lord. You gave us up. It makes me think of Seth when he has to get a shot. Uh-huh. Seth looks at us like we betrayed him, something awful.
Oh.
So the Lord so the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of the Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianite children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. Now I said because of the Midianites, right? Because of that enemy, they altered their dwelling place, right? They made dens, they made caves, they made strongholds, which are in the mountain. So it was whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up, also Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. Now, I'm reading this to you so that you can see when we do not properly align ourselves with God and satisfy his purpose, and we go off into protecting ourselves or trying to do our own agenda, worshiping other things, which really the home base for that is because we have another agenda, idols, yes. We start to do things that is not what God has called. He has to deal with us. and he allowed them to go into bondage for 7 years. Everything they produced was taken from them. They had no power to protect themselves, and they had to live in unnatural places. Lot wanted the green grass, right? He wanted the land that looked good because he knew there I could farm, I could create some things and do what I needed to. These guys here did not have what they needed to. Every time they tried to go and produce something, the enemy came and took what they had. Translation, when you are not doing what God has for you to do, I can't tell you how many times people have asked for help. And one of the first things I ask when somebody comes for financial help, I say, are you tithing? No. Okay. Are you surprised you're having financial difficulties? The things God has set up in place to sustain you, you've gone off on your own. And so you don't have what you need. Even Haggai tells you, you go, you make money, you go home, put it in a sock that has holes in it. Amen? So if we're going to do the things God wants us to do and we're going to be triumphant ones that will rise up, we're going to have to satisfy God and not allow the enemy to come in. Oh, man, I just didn't. I still got two other points. Ivy's telling me, go, Mountie. I just outed my help. Here's something, I tell you what, I'm going to share a couple things that I know God really wants us to grab hold of. And I can share this and feel that I'm still hitting what God really wants you to walk away with this. Because I can't give up this point. This point, what you will have to hear. In anything we do, we have to be prepared. It's one thing to identify the Alpha, to work to satisfy him, amen, and to meet what he wants done. But if you don't have preparation, it's not going to work. Now, for sake of time, I'm just going to talk about it, but you can find this in chapter 7. Gideon saw God do some things. There was a time where God first approached Gideon, and Gideon needed a sign. And Gideon went and prepared some bread, unleavened bread, and he prepared goat and some broth. And then the angel told him to pour it on the rock. The angel touched the rock with the staff that was in his hand, and fire came from outside of that rock and consumed it. Amen? Then, again, God told Gideon later on, Gideon, I want you to overtake these people. They're down in the valley, and they're like locusts. They are so numerous, God even referred to them as being like sand on the beach. And he had 300 people. And God told him, I will deliver them into your hand this day. God also gave Gideon help. He said, Gideon, if you're scared, go down with your servant and just listen to what they say about you. And God had already planted a dream in the enemy's mind that gave him some indication, y'all gonna get whooped by Gideon tomorrow.
That's right.
So Gideon goes down with his servant and he listens outside the tent and he hears them talking. The man shares his dream about barley loaf just rolling down the hill and knocking over the tent. And the man says, a guy who was with the enemy said, that's a sign of that Gideon's going to come against us and is going to overtake us. And they were fearful. So Gideon got prepared, and now Gideon, all of a sudden, he's got it going on. Like he's strong, he's ready now because he has so many confirmations. He already had the whole thing he did with the fleece, and God dealt with him, gave him two tests to show him, I am with you, Gideon, I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you. Now you can go. What I want you to see here when I talk about preparation, and I want to bring it home to who we are, Gideon has several things that he had given each man, all 300. He divided them into hundreds and positioned them strategically. He had a plan on their attack. He was going to make them seem like they were so much more numerous than the enemy. 300 people scaring off a group or an army that was as big as or as many as locusts. They had trumpets. They had pitchers. Pour water out, you know, pitcher of clay. And they had fire. And the Lord was speaking to me about this and showing me who we are. And so I'm going to try to sum this up in this to talk about what these things symbolize as well. When you think about the pitcher is of clay. It's of earth. There's been some water mixed in with it. Amen. And many times that represents mankind. We are from the dust. We're going to return to the dust. Amen. So now in that pitcher, it said the pitcher was empty. And it said he put the torch in the empty pitcher. There was a fire. I said, I'm here to stir you. Amen. Hey. So the fire was inside the pitcher. And they had a trumpet. He told them, when you see me come to the edge of the camp, do as I do. He broke that pitcher, and the trumpet sounded, and when that pitcher broke, all that was left was fire blazing, right? When they blew the trumpet, the camp, you read this, it didn't talk about Gideon having swords.
No,
that's
right. No, it did not.
It said that the companions turned on each other in the enemy's camp. So what I'm trying to tell you is this. The thing that the enemy's trying to silence in you is your voice and your fire. Your voice and your fire. If he can silence that, you will not disrupt your enemy's camp. They blew the trumpet. There was three teams of them. The Holy Spirit, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three is the number of establishment. I mean, even in our government, we have three branches, right? Now listen, it's significant. He had to plan it out and do it as God told him to, and his men had to be obedient. He said, do as I say do. And when you have that type of harmony, I don't think it was just the blast. I think it was the blast being in unison. And all of a sudden, broken vessels, did you hear it? Broken vessels don't have reputations. Broken vessels aren't worried about who likes them. Broken vessels are only wanting to break through so light can shine. The Shekinah glory wants to break through out of you. And when God sets this place ablaze, my goodness, they are going to see it through the darkness. They're going to say, what is happening over at Bethel? The enemy's camp is going to say, I thought I told you to silence them. Didn't I tell you to strike Bud down? I said, strike him down. Do it repeatedly. So it's people who will even stop texting and saying, please pray for Bud. If he does it enough, will Deb give up? I come against it. You will not have my brother. You will not steal from us any longer. I'm looking for broken vessels that will allow the torch to come up out of them again. To believe again and trust God. My goodness gracious. I'm sorry, I know I went long here. But I'm trying to tell you, God is trying to do something with Bethel, and he's going to start it here where heaven touches earth. My goodness gracious. Let's let it happen here. Your boss at work, he won't tell you he's looking for God. He will just watch you.
That's right, brother. That's right.
And if you fail, you take the pressure off of the world. Because, wow, I don't really have to aspire to be better. My goodness. The devil wants you silent. I just want to encourage you, don't be silent. Don't be silent. Don't let the dust collect on you. Don't say you've expired. You're not done. If you're breathing, you're not done. God's got much more for you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And God says, if you will trust me, if you will deal even when it's hard, when you think you're done, if you will still scream out a shout even on your knees, I'm going to honor you. I am the Lord your God. He will not leave you nor forsake you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. The enemy will rise up and speak against you, but God will return you to such a glory. Hallelujah. You're going to come out pure gold. Come on, let's raise up the triumphant ones. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father God. We will rise. We will rise. We will rise, Father God. That's right. Hallelujah. Right now, I know time has gone by, but you know what? It's okay. It's okay. God can deal with that. But if you're in this place right now, you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You have an opportunity right now to receive that. Just lift your hand if you want it. It's not anything that you have to wait years for or hours for. It's something he'll answer for you. He'll give to you now. It's a free gift. Peter spoke about it in Acts. It's a promised gift. Amen. If you want it, just give me a wave. Let me see your hand.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.